This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From KMOX Sports,
here's the pitch. A swing. High fly ball.
This could be trouble. It's at the wall.
And it's a gunner.
Welcome to Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Oh!
15 on KMOX. Cardinals, happy birthday, Adam Wainwright. Let's get this thing back in order, okay? This is a big day for the Cardinals. We have Mike Schilt coming up here in about 8 minutes, but, you know, we're going to see what the Cardinals are made of today. They have had a tough go of it. Yesterday is a tough way to lose Brian Kelly, and we will be discussing that. I'll tell you what, it was a good day. I watched the game later, just so people understand. I did not watch everything unfold live because I was at a track watching Scott Dixon outrace Takuma Sato in what was a very cool IndyCar
cool,
event.
Yeah.
So cool that I wish they had another one. Oh, wait a minute. Oh. They do have another one today. 240 again. So congratulations to everybody out there at Worldwide Technology Raceway. I mean, they've really worked hard to get to this point, haven't they? I mean, Curtis Francois, you think about what he put into that track from his own personal finances. He got the backing from the corporate world here in St. Louis, and one of the first guys to step up was John Bomarito.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what, you have a dream to run an IndyCar race in NASCAR at some point? I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'll put my name on the IndyCar race.
That track was closed just a few years ago.
Yeah.
It was nothing. And now it's got all this activity, and the fans, you know, as many as can now are there this year, but they've had great crowds there the first few years of the Bomarito Automotive Group 500. It's great to see.
I'm telling you, if you're thinking of getting up and getting moving today and getting something going today, that's the spot. I went there yesterday, and you know me, Brian, I haven't gone out in public at all. I mean, I barely go to a store. I've not gone to one restaurant except for curbside and delivery. I do delivery on groceries. I go from home to KMOX to home, and maybe once in a while pop into a, you know, a convenience store, someone with a mask on, or get gas in the car. You know, I just don't. So my first sporting event with fans since March 12th, when Klebs and I did that spring training game, they got they canceled spring training at the end of it, which Adam Wainwright started, oddly enough. But anyway, and I felt completely safe yesterday. I had, so what they do, they park you. You walk in with a mask, they take your temperature, you walk in, and suddenly you're in this familiar world of people walking and getting concessions, and everything is totally fine. Like, I think at this point we're used to wearing a mask, so I didn't really think much about it.
Yeah.
And everybody else is wearing one too. When you sit down in your seat, you're socially distanced and you're outside, so hey, take my mask off, have a couple beers.
And it holds, what, 77,000 people, so there's plenty of room to spread out.
Lots of room to spread out, yet it still feels big because you have all the cars, all the teams, the track announcer, the video board, even the Wallace family grandstands are not filled, but you see some fans there, and their fans scattered. So they've distributed the tickets so that you're not, I was, you know, 10, 15 feet from the nearest person, but you're there. And so you feel really good about being there. The sound of the cars, everything was great. So
yeah,
in 2020 fashion, as soon as they wave the green flag, they drop the green and there's a crash before they even across the start, and three drivers were out, including Alexander Rossi, who was right up there near the top. But anyway,
that's when you know you're going to have you're having a bad day.
Yeah, so they, you know, they ran some laps under caution, and then they got going, and they was a fast moving race there for a while. I think they ran about 100 or so till there was another caution, and that's just because it was sprinkling outside. So it turned out to be a great race. Scott Dixon had Takuma Sato all over him and ended up shaking him off this time in a reverse of what happened in the Indy 500, because Sato beat him last week. So it was neat. So I'm very, very happy about it.
Good, yeah. And it's a great track. People, the drivers seem to really enjoy the track, the way it's laid out. Kind of a strange, you know, the turns one and two are basically one big long turn, kind of. Anyway, it's a unique track. And the drivers really seem to enjoy it. You know, I remember when we had the kart racing here years ago, and it seemed like they scheduled it to fail because of one weekend. I think it was, this is back when they were split. The Indy car and kart were separate. And they scheduled a kart race here like the same weekend as the Indy 500 one year. And then they scheduled it the weekend that the Rams played the Niners. And I think the same day it was the Cardinals and Cubs. And I thought, are you trying to make this fail?
Yeah.
And it kind of did. And now that they brought it back with Curtis Francois and all the gang over there, it's been going great guns. So it's great to see.
It's great. If there was ever a time for you to see this track for the first time, like if you've never been over there, I think IndyCar is perfect. Now, NASCAR trucks are going to run here at like 11. Yeah. Now, they're loud.
Yeah.
So if you want to go to that, that's awesome. If you want to just glide in around 1:30 this afternoon, plenty of time. I did not arrive at the track yesterday till about 1:30, 1:45.
Mm-hmm.
And it was easy in, easy out.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's not a lot of traffic. It was very easy. The tickets, that's pretty close to sold out, I think, for today, but there still might be some, and any seat is good.
Yeah.
I walked right in, got my hot dog and a soda, and then after that, I was like, all right, it's time for timing to have a little cold one. I'm a spectator today. So, you know, had a Bud Light, sat there and watched these guys, and it was just awesome.
Yeah.
And today, the sun's shining. Yesterday, we had some cloud cover. I just think that if you've never, and IndyCars aren't that loud, really. You know, there's a gap where you can chat or talk if you want to, but I would just enjoy yourself and take it all in because, you know, they only come around once a year, and it's very, very cool.
And the parking you mentioned is great. I mean, even when I went 2 years ago and it was crowded, we had 40, 50,000 people there. It didn't take long at all to get out of there after the race. And so I can imagine with what they're allowing now, the parking, the ingress and egress is going to be just fine. So,
yeah,
and it's going to be a gorgeous day. Low humidity. We were afraid it was going to rain a lot today. And that's out of the forecast for that area. Just far south, we might see some rain. So otherwise, it's going to be a perfect day for racing.
Great spot. 5 minutes from the Arch Worldwide Technology Raceway. BK, have a great day. It's a great day for baseball. And Mike Schilt is going to join us in 2 minutes to talk about the Cardinals. Thanks.
If you need a guy to turn it around, we got the guy on the mound today.
I hear you. We're going to get into that and more with Mike Schilt, Cardinals manager, is next.
The following is a special presentation of sports on a Sunday morning.
Welcome to the Mike Schilt Show on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Welcome to the program. It is the Cardinals manager, Mike Schilt, as always. What a beautiful day for baseball, Mike. It's a new day and a new game with Adam Wainwright, the birthday boy, on the mound today at 1:15. How are you?
I'm doing great, Tom. How about yourself?
Doing great. Adam Wainwright, of course he's pitching on his birthday. His 39th birthday. What a life, what a man, what a career, what a Cardinal.
Yeah, all of the above. I mean, he's beyond special on and off the field, and excited for him to be able to pitch today, and especially on his birthday. It's quite a cool thing.
It is indeed, and you'll be taking on this Cleveland Indians team that's been a thorn in your side here. You lost on Friday 14-2. And yesterday, the much-talked-about 2-1 loss in 12 innings. And I know you've answered a lot of questions already about this, so we're not going to harp on it too much, but we are going to talk a little
harp
bit about
it. All you want, Tom.
I hear you. That's what we do on the Mike Schilt Show. We talk about things, and we break it down. So, but I want to start with this, was my point, is that one thing you weren't able to talk about with the media was the play at the end when Yachty did not break right away and ended up getting caught between third and home because you hadn't seen the video, I don't believe. So now that you have and you've reviewed the situation, What are your thoughts on what happened at the end of the game yesterday?
I believe I did speak to the media about it. I have seen it. I don't think my opinion's changed a ton about it. It's pretty obvious what happened. The guy made a pretty good play. It was a yacht he broke, stopped like he should have, and then thought the ball, again, I haven't spoke to Yachty about it. Pretty long game. And I had some responsibilities. He broke and then thought the ball was foul, I'm guessing. Clearly it wasn't. Whether it was or wasn't, it was called fair. And you saw the rest.
Yeah, I did. It did look to me when you see the video. This is different, though, in real time. But it does, to me, when I see the video, it looks like it's foul. But it's called fair, and that's the situation. It's just it's one of those deals, and Yachty got caught, and the game was over. But it's not the reason that the Cardinals lost the ball game. I mean, there's been some misses offensively. Right? And then you have the Paul DeJong situation where how can you explain that one? The only thing I could think of is that he thought the ball was going to drop off Goldschmidt's bat.
I think that was a pretty clear assessment.
That's pretty much it. It's disappointing, but you move on. What can you say to Paul DeJong?
Not a whole lot, Tom. I hate to break it to people, but we're human. And I don't want to excuse it. But it was a tricky play at the end of the game. I can easily explain because no one, really asked, like, could you have run for Yachty? Sure, I could have completely run for Yachty. Had Nagowski and Kiz on the bench and a tick above his speed for Yachty, but not by any stretch burners. I thought Yachty, we did some good things yesterday as well. Yachty goes out and gets a great read on the ball that's tough. When a ball gets under a catcher to start the 12, he read that ball really, really well. And that's one of the reasons he was running. It's because Yachty's a really, really good base runner. He's one of our best base runners we have. And not to say the Kiz or Nagowski couldn't have read that ball, but he gets to third based on his experience. And then at that point, we just don't have the speed to really think about on a tag. Yachty's slower than those other two guys. The other factor is, and I know it's 12 innings, but he was still catching and blocking unbelievably. But Yachty was shepherding through a lot of different guys in a lot of different tough situations the entire game, including Gomber and Gio got his double play ball. But he turned a runner second base, made a big-time call on the bunt to get the shield to third. Johnny Gant makes a really nice play. And then he gets Alex Reyes through a couple innings with runners at second base to start the inning with younger pitchers. And, Yachty's a tie-in run. We still needed to take the lead. I know you had to tie it before you win it, but we had younger guys coming in after that with virtually no major league experience. So, there's a lot of the reasons why he was in that position. As far as Paul DeJong goes, candidly, we have and no excuse for Paul. He didn't know he'd do it again. I'm not in the habit of chastising guys for a mistake they make, unless it's consistent. Paul didn't get a good read. He also had probably been on the bases in practice since probably July 25th. So, you could say, well, why isn't he on the bases? Well, first of all, he's out for 3 weeks with COVID. And then after that, we're playing baseball every single day, twice a day, day games after night games, extra innings. So our time, energy management for our players, right or wrong, but is not getting them on the bases for early work.
I get it. That's the thing, is it's hard to sit there and crash down on the Cardinals, even though they are the Cardinals and they are held to a very high standard. Based on everything that you've been through as an organization, there has to be some time and I don't know if it's a grace period, but there has to be some time where you can say this club has gone through a lot. They are going through a lot. And like you said, they are human beings and things are going to happen. And I guess that can also be related to the offense. Again, I'm not making excuses, and I know you're not either. That, you know, that is what it is. What's that, sorry?
Wouldn't dare. Yeah, I wouldn't dare to make excuses. You know, I mean, I do feel, and I, you know, like, I don't know what happened, what's outside our walls a whole lot, you know, from a media or, you know, we have responsibility to high standards. I welcome them, always have. We do, always will. You know, we like to play a certain style of baseball. And I won't make excuses for the group. Facts are facts. You know, we did a lot of things well. We've done a lot of things well. You know, the timing is of things not going well the last couple of days, and some close games has not been great. Is it frustrating? Oh, absolutely. Do we excuse it? Do we expect more? Absolutely. We also know that, you know, you'd like to appreciate the fact that it's not always going to be the case every single time out, and a little bit of grace just in general. Not that we need it. You know, look, I don't necessarily have to have it, but can't explain it a little bit.
When it comes to offense, what is the big difference in your mind? How do you succeed with runners in scoring position in situations like that, as opposed to bases empty? And they go hand in hand because you got to get people on base to drive in runs. But what do you think is the issue? And if you knew how to solve it, the Cardinals would be knocking runs all over the place. But what do you think is the biggest issue offensively right now?
Well, again, hitting's probably gotten harder to do than anything else in the game. Fact of the matter is we do need to execute. Can be easier said than done. You are dealing in some cases with, it's a learned thing to do at the big leagues. Some guys learn it really early. Some guys have a feel for it. Some guys, you know, still have to get a lot of experience or get some experiences, and there's a learning curve to it, which, you know, patience is can be required, but also can be necessarily then go hand in hand when you want to, you know, expect to compete at the very highest level every year. But it's really about an approach, you know, and it's not as easy with the understanding of teams. And we do the same thing. I mean, you know, look, we've on a positive note, you know, we pitched pretty darn well. And we've defensively been behind a lot of baseballs, and our defensive run saved is really, really high. And the point I'm making on that side of it is we have a really clear understanding of based on a lot of measures, our own reports, and also some of the good stuff we get from our baseball development, how we defend things. And Cleveland's been a pretty advanced metric team for a while, about how they're going to pitch guys and in certain situations, and then how they're going to defend guys. And they're in a pretty good spot. They're above average defensive club. You can tell there's a method to the madness of what they're doing, why they're doing it, how they're doing it. And so they're in sync with their pitching and their defense. And so what has to happen? You know, we have to continue to think about staying in the middle of the field, driving the ball the other way. If you notice, you know, Dylan hit the ball down the line, and it was 2 inches, you know, 3 inches, whatever it was. Guy made a dive and attempt at it. We should have caught it. But, you know, it's a couple more inches the other way. It's, you know, he's got a great approach. And then the guy pounded him in, took a tough pitch, then he rolled over one to first. You know, the biggest thing is probably staying in the middle of the field. Is traditionally, as we most of us know that's followed this game for a long time, and it's no secret to you, to anybody on our clubhouse for sure. You know, that's what we're looking to do. Executing it and learning how to execute it in real time in the big leagues sometimes takes a little bit of adjustment for people. And, you know, that's what we have.
It's kind of like you can't have too many thoughts going through your mind up there. And that's hard to learn. It's something that you do have to learn and adjust to, right? I mean, if you go up there without too many thoughts and trying to think of all the different ways and trying to do too much, I guess they say, or some people use the word pressing. If you can go up there and have a clear mind, sometimes that's the best way to go. But it's the big leagues, man. It's hard to do sometimes.
Yeah, it is. It's a skill, and then some people would say it's not, and that's they could have their opinion about that. And my experience has been, guys do have an innate ability to do it, and have the right approach. There is a certain understanding of how to kind of regulate those thoughts, you know. For people to think, well, you know, you guys should work on it. I can confidently tell you it's worked on a lot. And, you know, but getting in that box and dealing with guys at the back end of the bullpen, and that's another thing that, you know, you have to appreciate. It's a pretty good bullpen that we're facing. You know, they've got good stuff too. You know, you got a Perez back there won a gold glove. That knows what he's doing as well, how to pitch guys. It's just a lot of different variables that take place that experience comes into play, approach comes into play, and, you know, you grow from experiences. And I'd love the fact that, you know, guys could just pop up there and be calm and take that kind of a bat. But it's not as easy as you would think it would be.
Cleveland Indians have the best ERA in Major League Baseball, 2.75. The Cardinals have the best staff in baseball in batting average against, teams hitting just 198 against the Cardinals this year. You could say these are the two best pitching teams in baseball right now going head-to-head. Cardinals play today at 1:15. Mike, we'll come back and chat a little more as you make your way into this third game of the series, the Cardinals and the Cleveland Indians. It's the Mike Schilt Show. The Cardinals manager is with us. I'm Tom Ackerman. Sports on a Sunday morning continues right after this.
Now, back to the Mike Schilt Show on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Welcome back to the program at 10:36 with Cardinals manager Mike Schilt. I'm Tom Ackerman. It is the Mike Schilt Show. It is Cardinal baseball at 1:15 today against the Cleveland Indians. Tomorrow is the Major League Baseball trade deadline. We'll have John Mozeliak, the Cardinals president of baseball operations, on the way at 11:30. We'll ask him all about that. Mike, I wouldn't burden you with trade deadline questions. That's not your area necessarily, although as manager, you certainly have plenty to say, I know, and you have on this show in the past, where when I brought up the trade deadline, you said, you know what, Tom, I believe in the group that we have. And I'm certain that, you know, during the trade deadline, things can happen and that everybody in that clubhouse understands that. But you continue to show confidence in your club.
Yeah, I mean, that's the group we have. I love the group we have. I mean, clearly, you know, we're still trying to get back to full strength, but you know, Mo will make whatever decision he thinks fits for the club, and I will manage whatever that looks like.
And moving forward, you'll be taking on some teams. So this team right here, this Indians team, is good. I mean, they're first place team in the AL Central. Taking a look at your schedule moving forward, you'll be going to Cincinnati. You got the Reds for 3 on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, then a day off on the 3rd, which the Cardinals have not had for a while, and the Chicago Cubs at Wrigley, and then a couple of games at Wrigley following that. The Cardinals don't play the Cubs at Busch Stadium, all the games at Wrigley, but they will be the home team for some of those, I do believe. That's going to be on one of those on the 5th, as a matter of fact, also. Anyway, I wanted to mention this. I think it was very special that the team wore 42 again yesterday. And you know, this has been a very difficult year for a lot of reasons. To be able to celebrate Jackie Robinson and to have Jack Flaherty on the mound yesterday doing it, I thought was a poignant moment. He has been, this has been some year for him, athletically, socially, as well. He has been very outspoken. He is some young man, isn't he, Jack Flaherty?
Yeah, Jack's special. Special talent, special heart, special conscious. You know, Jack, he takes a stand, and I just have a lot of respect for somebody that stands up for what they believe in and is not only wanting to create awareness, but wanting to create solution. And I know he's trying to, as we all are, at least some of us, trying to figure out what that looks like for a better tomorrow. What we can do today for a better tomorrow, so we can have a little bit more peace with what we're doing and how we're doing it, and a little more love in the world. And I know that's where Jack's heart is, and I applaud it. And, you know, it's just nice to be able to, you know, provide a tribute and to have and just be able to study and talk about such an amazing positive influence, not only in our game, but in our society, and Jackie Robinson, because I think he stood for and went about for things the way, you know, we would maybe like everyone to think about. And it's just a good reference point and a great, good opportunity to honor a great man. And it's fitting that Jack was able to be a part of that.
Yeah, I don't know if you're wearing the 42s again today, but that was a very special Friday, Saturday. Also, Dexter Fowler, Jack stood in solidarity with him and other professional athletes around the country in sitting out a game last week. And could you tell us as much as you can about how that came about and what the clubhouse reaction was to it, including yourself, Mike, as Dexter Fowler sat out of the game?
Yeah, full support. I mean, you understand it. I've had a lot of really great conversations with both the gentlemen, and echoing what I said about Jack relative to Dexter. You know, Dex is a very conscientious young man that cares about a lot of different things, cares about people first and foremost, and but also as a person that people look to in our game, that they respect, rightfully so, that is an African-American male that is in a position where, you know, there's decisions to be made, hard decisions, and, you know, the line between supporting what you believe off the field to still making sure you're supporting and being available and being with your guys, you know, here in the clubhouse and on the field. And our whole clubhouse, including myself, I was very clear to Dex personally that, look, you do what you need to do. We've got your back. We'll have your back. You know, this is an opportunity for you to do something that it's really important to you. That's candidly, I know it's hard to believe, it's hard to say, but there is some things that are bigger than baseball, Tom. And you know, Dex took a stand. Jack had his back. We talked about what that looked like. Had full support for him, and we'll continue to do so. This group's, you know, generally speaking, about making sure we can think about doing things moving forward because awareness is being created, but what do we do with that awareness, and how do we help our communities and just have a better place and a peaceful place that I think really most of us want. But, you know, and then Dex is doing something very generous, and he's donating his salary from that day's game to a couple different ventures, some in his home in Las Vegas and some here in St. Louis. So Roy thought that was a first-class touch as well.
Absolutely. And I love him saying that he wants to do more in the community, and he would be absolutely embraced and right now figuring out how he can do that. He is really special, and so is Dex. You know, I'm glad Dex is in St. Louis. I'm really happy that he's here, and I hope that he and his family continue to be happy and comfortable here, and that they can move forward in a great direction. I really like Dexter Fowler personally, and also as a player. And Mike, you know, you look ahead at everything that's happening with your club right now. There's a lot of baseball left ahead of you. And I personally think that as long as, and of course you need the offense, that's for sure. We've already talked about that. But as long as you continue to pitch well, and you have, you need that depth, though. You need pitching depth, and it's getting tested here a little bit. But as long as you have that depth and pitch, I think you can hang in this race. A lot of balls still to be played.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, I mean, kind of talked about this, and I do know I'm not an overreactor. I'm not an underreactor, Tom. You know, so soon we forget that, you know, we've won 3 out of 4 against Cincinnati and 2 out of 3 against Kansas City, and had some walk-offs and some real positive moments, did a lot of things really, really well. And I don't want to be naive that we haven't done some things as well as we'd like recently, but I mean, I don't want to just, you know, run around going the sky's falling. because we have a very capable club that, you know, is dealing with a lot of stuff. And, the pitching's been a huge asset for us. Mike Maddox, Brian Ebersker, they've done their part. They've done their job. The players have really stepped up. You mentioned the depth that's continuing to get tested. One of the bigger challenges is just making sure we can keep them healthy with as many games we're playing. Of course, the extra innings and the doubleheaders and the day games into the night games, and, you know, still not compromising people's health to win games. We do know we're here to win games. So just putting that big puzzle together. But, you know, the offense, I mean, when we spoke a couple weeks ago or even less than 10 days ago, people in the media sessions I have and on the show were like, yeah, the offense is clicking. And you have a couple guys throw pretty well against you. And then you have another couple guys, you know, that show up that hit their spots, and you run into some pretty good bullpens, and you don't get those big hits on a couple 3 days. The sky is not falling.
What about Daniel Ponce de Leon? And it looks like you've got a pretty good one in Johan Oviedo. Tell us about that change in your rotation.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Ponce just rough outing, clearly, and just not enough consistent strikes. When he does that, he's really effective, and he's shown the ability to be that. But Oviedo's sees the opportunity as the 29th man in Chicago, and took the second game of the doubleheader against Pittsburgh, and was able to give us five innings of keeping him to two runs. And, big kid, you know, it's a good looking young man that gets out there and has a good arm and has good secondary pitches. And, you know, he's still going to figure out some things as he goes along in this league, but he's got the stuff and he's got the competitive drive to succeed, and he can't ask for much more.
You also brought in relievers Kaminsky, Elledge, and Meisinger. Kaminsky, the lefty, and Elledge has been pretty good, I think, too. Tell us about that depth that you bring in.
Yeah, we're still getting to know them. I mean, they both were in our big league camp and got a little bit of work, and they were able to be a part of the 60 and get some work in Springfield, and they came up and Kaminsky had a clean inning in both Chicago series, and is more of a ground ball guy, and Elledge just got pretty good arm, got some life on his fastball, pretty good slider. The key to them historically and will continue to be is just controlling counts, getting their stuff in the zone, realizing it plays at this level and trusting it. And especially against a club like Cleveland that has the highest walk rate in baseball. So you got to be in the strike zone against this group. And but they're both guys that clearly have ability, and Robbie was our first round pick years ago. And just good to see his work his way in here, and so we'll get some opportunities like a lot of guys are.
How's Carlos Martinez coming along, Mike?
Pretty well. Carlos is getting built back up and threw a lot of batting practice for two innings. I think he threw about 30 pitches, 31 maybe, and felt good, recovered well. His velocity was like 91, 93. The reports were pretty good sink, and the slider, it was pretty typical of Carlos's slider, and he felt good, wasn't working too hard, I don't think. And, we'll build him back up to get him back to helping us start, and we're going to need him with the number of doubleheaders we have coming up.
And you mentioned this in the last segment about your bullpen, and it's worth noting how Yadi guided this group through. Cabrera, Gomber, Gallegos, and Gant, a lot of G's in there, all put in great work, put up zeros. Reyes ended up being the losing pitcher in the 12th, but he went two innings. So, I mean, you have some good depth there as well. Did you like what you saw from your pen yesterday?
Well, actually, we saw a lot. I mean, Cabrera was sharp in his inning. Went out with a nail that has bothered him in spring training and resurfaced, so he's going to be a couple of days probably. Thought Gomber was good, got out of some jams. I thought Yadi had a pretty good plan a couple of times. And, to give Austin credit for being able to execute. You mentioned Gio. He comes in, gets double play ball in the eighth, clean ninth. Johnny Gant makes a really nice play on the bunt. I mentioned earlier, to get the out of third and wiggle out a few things to make some pitches and throw up a donut. And then Alex threw up a zero looking sharp in the 11th. And, you know, you got to remember these guys are starting as runners on second base. So they're navigating out of the hole a little bit from the beginning. And then the 12th, you know, the Hernandez, you know, soft single to right center, and but we limit damage to give ourselves a chance to keep it to one run. But, you know, when you talk about the depth, we've had seven innings over a bullpen yesterday, and you know, we had with Ponce getting two-thirds of an inning in the first game, you know, you had 7 2/3 in the second game, and, you know, opening game of the series. So now you're looking at a lot of work out of that bullpen. And there's been a fair amount of work out of the bullpen because, as you know, previous, and when we started back up after the pause, we just didn't have starters stretched out. So that required more load on the bullpen. So we'll just keep managing it, and we'll keep seeing who's the freshest guys, and we'll put them in as good a spot as we can.
We appreciate the time, as always, and I know that the Cleveland Indians, who have gotten you the first two, will be in for a fight today. Before we go, though, the memorable play of the week is sponsored by Dolan Memory Care Homes. If you have a loved one with dementia that needs a safe place to live, contact Dolan Memory Care Homes, where they have no more than 11 residents per household. Visit dolancare.com. I know that you love to focus on these positives, and certainly we do that in this segment with Dolan Care Memory Homes. Is there a play this week that you look back and you smile, that just gives you a good memory from this week?
Yeah, there's a lot of good memories. You know, we didn't talk about the week a lot, Tom.
Yeah.
We had a, you know, there was a lot of good things. You know, Colton had a couple walk-offs. I think the memory of just in general, the ninth against Kansas City, you know, we're down three, you know, talking about fighting. This group will fight, you know, and some days it's good enough, and some days it's not. But question of effort and the fact of what these guys are bringing and living with them like I'm living with them and seeing how they're going about it and seeing their heart is pretty impressive. And, you know, that was indicative of that. You know, they're down 5-2 in the ninth and score four runs. And you know, Colton walks them off with the walk. But just an impressive outing overall. So that brought a smile.
That, absolutely. You're down to your last out, down 5-2. Molina hit by a pitch, drives in a run. O'Neill drives in two with a hit. There was a wild pitch. There was a walk. There was Colton Wong at the plate. Here's how it sounded.
The rookie, Carlson, is at first base. O'Neill's down at second base. Yadier Molina, the veteran, at third. 3-1 pitch. Here it is. Colton Wong. He walks, and the Cardinals win this one 6-5 with a walk-off walk. You believe this game?
No.
The Redbird.
Unreal.
Unreal, to say it the least. Cardinals win it 6-5 in 9 innings.
Oh, the cardboard cutouts absolutely loved it. No, listen to those fireworks going off, and Cardinals fans love that. So just like you said, Mike, it's important to remember some of the games that did go your way, and that one certainly did. That was some effort there at the end.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it's important, you know. Look, I mean, you know, it's easy to dwell on things that aren't going good in our society, and days that aren't good consecutively here aren't fun. We don't enjoy them, but man, if we don't forget to appreciate some of the things that do go well, you know, in a world that's harder and harder to find joy, we're gonna, you know, tough sledding.
Right on. Well, let's see what happens today. Cardinals and Indians, a 1:15 start. Thank you for taking this time with us very much, and good luck to your club today.
Thanks, Tom. Have a blessed day.
You too. There's the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, Mike Schilt, on KMOX every Sunday in the 10 o'clock hour. We'll take a quick break, wrap up this hour, and next hour, a lot of good stuff to get to. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. Well, a lot going on in sports, that's for sure. Thanks to Mike Schilt for joining us. Really a good discussion there, I thought, in the 10 o'clock hour about everything that's happening with the club, both good and bad. And if you want to listen to it, all you have to do is hit the rewind feature on our radio.com app. It's that simple. It'll take you right back to, when did he join us, James? 10:17, exactly. 10:17 was when we came back from break. And Mike Schilt, that's all you have to do. Just take it back to 10:17. Coming up after the 11 o'clock news, a little bit about about the St. Louis Blues. We're going to hear from Doug Armstrong and Craig Berube about what went wrong for them and how they recover and chase that Stanley Cup again. That's after the 11 o'clock news.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.